Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamiċju plilkom biex xewqat tajba tal-Bank of Valletta. Campus FM jipprezenta Muxkelma bejtnej, l-intervista tal-Bank of Valletta. Jipprezentaw il-program Father Joe Borge u l-Professur Joe Pirotta.
I'm Father Joe Borch, and today I'll be presenting the program Muxkelma bejtnej, l-intervista tal-BOV. We have had many interesting persons in this series of interviews. They were all Maltese, today we'll have a foreigner. Who, I think, but you've got to judge at the end of the program, will be one of the more interesting of the people whom I interviewed during the series. But let me not say anymore. Let's hear this little feature we prepared so that you will know something more about our guest.
Leo Bormans is the author of the worldwide bestseller, The World Book of Happiness, in which 100 experts of 50 countries share their knowledge on happiness, subjective well-being, and quality of life. Bormans challenges the myths about happiness and positivity. A Belgian journalist, inspirator, writer, and motivational speaker. The book has been translated in various languages and has been sent by the President of the European Council to all leaders of the world as a special New Year's gift in 2012. Leo Bormans has been working for more than 20 years for the government in Belgium on active citizenship, empowerment, communication, positive education, and positive journalism. His initiatives have inspired lots of organizations and policymakers. Now he has become an international ambassador of positive change and quality of life. He is giving workshops and lectures for small groups and broad audiences all over the world. It may be surprising to learn the amount of scientific research conducted on happiness and that there is a world database of happiness, a cumulative and continuous register of that research. In fact, the United States ranks higher than average in happiness, though not as high as the Nordic countries, including the happiest of nations, Denmark. So perhaps there is a lot to be learned about happiness and how to achieve it. According to Bormans, happiness is a very important issue. There is so much trouble and pain in the world that we need to actively practice our optimism to improve things. He says we are richer now than we ever were before, but we are not happier. So it doesn't just happen by itself, because according to Bormans, everyone can contribute. People have different perceptions about life. Some look at a glass of water half full, while others look at it half empty. Many books have been written about happiness, as there were many studies undertaken to somehow unlock the key to a happier life. But other than the philosophical views that are sometimes hard to understand, Leo Bormans compiled the findings of the world's leading experts when it comes to the psychology of happiness. In his book entitled World Book of Happiness, he summed it up into 12 simple tips. Today's Muxkelma bejtnej intervista tal-Bank of Valletta, Father Joe Borge interviews Leo Bormans, who is dedicated to making a positive change and to engage more and more people actively in creating happier societies and increase their well-being.
Thank you for accepting our invitation. I hope you like the introduction and that it was correct, summarizing something so complex in such a short period of time.
You did a great job. Thank you very much.
Are you happy that you are here for this interview?
Well, it's the first time I'm in Malta. I've visited 50 or 60 countries, and I'm in Malta, and I think I'm the ambassador of happiness and quality of life. I think I'll become the ambassador of Malta as well. It's a beautiful country.
Do you feel happy that you are here for this interview?
Of course I do. I like to talk about it and to inspire people. It's not only a book on our studies on information, it's also on inspiring people, on giving the ideas to people and to make them to give them the tools in their own hands to change their life.
Okay, but let me be skeptical.
Okay, you are allowed to.
You will not shoot me afterwards.
No, I won't. I'm used to that.
Why should you be happy? You have never met me before. I could be nasty, I could be a pain. Mm. I should be happy that you are here.
Why should I be
happy? Yes.
Well, I trust you, and I'm open-minded, and that's the first thing for a happy man. You're open-minded, that you're not fearful. I'm not driven by fear when I enter this studio. I'm driven by hope, and as most people are, when you ask people all over the world, mm-hmm. what makes them drive? Why do they do the things they do? The answer is always, I want to be happy. I want to, my kids to be happy, my family to be happy. That's the reason why most people just work and live.
I totally agree with you that what we do, I think it's we do it to be happy.
Yes, but it's a universal quest.
Yes, exactly. But there were other people. Before you, great people, let's say the Buddha. The Buddha spoke about the Eightfold Path to Happiness.
Yes, okay.
Christ spoke about the Eight Beatitudes, and we have still many unhappy people around. So,
yes,
do you think that you would achieve more than the Buddha or Christ?
I hate it when people call me a guru or something like that. Some newspapers say, well, he's the guru of happiness. I don't want to use that word at all, because gurus just don't leave any possibility for yourself, for your own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell anyone that he has to be happy or how to be happy. I don't tell anyone, but if I'm a journalist and I've gathered all the information on positive psychology and all these studies that are carried out on happiness, and it's not only a matter of believing anymore, it's about knowing. It's a science. It's not about religion or spirituality. It's a sociology, a psychology, economics, evidence-based material. And we find most of the things we find in positive psychology are the things that my grandmother knew already as well. There's nothing new under the sun, but it's not a problem that we don't know what to do. We don't do what we know.
Okay, that you've said many interesting things in that statement, so let's start taking them perhaps bit by bit.
Mm-hmm.
You said this is something scientific.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that we'll arrive at a day when we take a pill so that we'll not have a headache, now we'll take a pill and make us happy?
Well, that's what we have learned to think, that pills will solve everything. We will not invent a happiness pill. I'm doing workshops with drug addicts as well, with people who have severe damages as well. So drug addicts, in fact, want to be happy. They just don't want to be unhappy. You know, they are unhappy now, but they wanted to be happy.
They did to be happy.
Yes, of course they did. So we're not going to invent pills, and we're not going to oblige people to be happy. It's what we know is what we can show you is a mirror for yourself, and you can watch the mirror and see, okay, what is my life like, and what are my priorities? Most people only decide about their own priorities when big disasters happen, when they get serious illnesses, when they get cancer, when they have some family members who die, when the kids commit suicide, when someone killed in an accident. Then people start thinking about the priorities of life. Then they say, now I know what is important in life. Why do we have to wait till terrible disasters happen in our lives to know about the priorities? We know the priorities. Mm-hmm. And positive psychology doesn't teach us very much new things. We know all these things, but we don't act like them.
Mm-hmm. I did not read all the book, but I read
You shouldn't read all the book at once, because it will make you very unhappy to read 300 pages on happiness at once. It's too much.
Yeah, but I read enough to be able to make this interview. And if I remember correctly, see, with age you start forgetting a lot. Here you said, and you said it just now, that this is the scientific approach.
Yes.
You did not go into the religious approach.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many people who would say that it's religion that makes me happy.
Okay,
so
that's true. There are 10,000 books on happiness. There are 10,000 of them. And if there is someone who says, I have found the way to happiness, don't trust him, he's a charlatan, he's a liar. Mm-hmm. There is no one way to happiness. Mm-hmm. There are different ways to happiness. And you have to choose your own way. And your way is probably not my way. So we know now quite a lot of things about universal happiness, and there is a red line in all the articles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the red lines is, for instance, about religion. When you people who report themselves to be religious report themselves to be a bit more happier than other people as well, except when they are extreme religious, then this
fundamentalists.
Fundamentalists are not happy, but religious people are more happy than other people. Because they're used to reflect on their own life, to take the time to reflect on their own life and to look for meaning in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's when we're talking about happiness, it's not about pleasure, it's not about sex, drugs, and mm-hmm. rock and roll. It's about thinking about meaning of mm-hmm. life. Feeling good while doing good is a definition of happiness I really prefer for myself. Feeling good while doing mm-hmm. good, not only feeling good, not only doing mm-hmm. good, feeling good while doing good. Mm-hmm. And religious people are a bit more happy. It doesn't matter what kind of belief they have, but it matters whether they are thinking about life, whether they don't accept life as it is and try to dream. And most religions are based on hope. In fact, religions that are based on hope are giving a positive attitude to people. Religions that are based on fear give a negative attitude mm-hmm. to people.
One of the books that influenced me in my life was is Viktor Frankl's book Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
And you here you put together happiness and meaning.
Of course,
you have to
yes.
find meaning in life. And one of the anecdotes in the book which struck me, and I would like you to comment on it then, to see whether this will tell you with what you are saying and what you are pushing forward. He was in this concentration camp, which is perhaps the closest that one can get to hell on earth. And the people were saying, many of the others, and all this suffering, if the Americans do not come to liberate us, then there is no sense, no meaning in the suffering. And he said, no, if there is no meaning in the suffering, then it does not make sense that they come and liberate us. Mm-hmm. Would this be an attitude, one, that could lead to happiness, and how would this tally with your own vision of what makes us happy?
Well, we didn't find the relationship between suffering and happiness. They told us in the past that you had to suffer to become happy, to creep on your knees to Santiago de Compostela to be to become happy. That's not true. You don't have to suffer to be happy. There are quite a lot of people who have never suffered in their life and are quite happy, and there are quite a lot of people who are suffering and who are not happy. So in my youth, they told me you had to deserve your heaven. But in fact, we don't find that in positive psychology. We find out that you can work at your own happiness. Happiness is not a butterfly that's coming to sit on your shoulder mm-hmm. one day, and you don't have to suffer for that. You can work at that, and you can accept it, and to be contented with life, and based on the satisfaction of life, setting yourself steps to new goals. That makes people really happy.
I would like to go through these stages, through these steps with you.
Yes.
But before we do that, I'll ask you another question. Then we'll take a very short break, and then we'll start going through these steps which would make us happy. In the introduction, we said that you believe in positive journalism. Isn't that a contradiction in terms of you look at journalism, how is it practiced?
Yes, but I myself, I'm a chief editor of a series of magazines, and we have a circulation of 1.5 million copies a month for teachers, students, parents, and so on. And I have a team of 35 journalists working with me, and we have been working for 23 years on positive journalism, positive education, active citizenship. And it works. It works. It really works. Well, journalism plays an enormous role in spreading the positive or the negative thing. And they are focusing on the negative thing. They're focusing on the conflict. All over the world, journalists are focusing on the conflict. Mm-hmm. And it's in fact humiliating human people, because we are much more interested in creativity, innovation, meaningful things, happy things, than we should be interested in the conflict and the negative things. But journalists think that we are only interested in the negative and the conflict things. Magazines and newspapers used to be called the mirror of society, mm-hmm. but they are not the mirror of society. They are the keyhole of society, focusing on the negative mm-hmm. aspects of life, focusing on the fear of people. There is some research that people who read the newspapers and who watch the news become more afraid of society than people who don't. Mm-hmm. So it's not about reality. It's making us afraid. It's making us paralyzed. It's making us hopeless, and they leave us in despair, going from the other conflict to the other conflict. They have an enormous role in society, as education has. Mm-hmm. Teachers and journalists have a great responsibility in society.
I'd like to remind my listeners that I, Father George, am interviewing Mr. Leo Bormans. His visit to Malta was organized by Leading Talks in collaboration with the University's Research, Innovation and Development Trust, and also in collaboration with the Malta Philosophy Society. We'll have a very short break for adverts, then we'll continue discussing what makes us happy, but also what is happiness, after the short break.
Bank of Valletta qed joffri l-BOV Jeremy Financing Package. Kundizzjonijiet vantaġġjużi sabiex ikompli jsaħħaħ l-aċċess għall-intrapriżi żero medji Maltin u Awċin. Għall-aktar informazzjoni kkuntattja waħda mill-Ferrati u Business Centers tal-Bank of Valletta. Dan il-proġett huwa kofinanzjat mill-Unjoni Ewropea permezz tal-Inizjattiva Jeremy fih dan il-Fond Ewropew għall-Iżvilupp Reġjonali billan li jinvestu fil-futur ta' pajjiżna. Termi u kundizzjoni tjapplikaw. Bank of Valletta. Impenn lejn is-suċċess tiegħek.
I'll welcome you back to the program. Mr. Bormans, we were discussing happiness before the break. And if you give me a short definition of happiness, what would that be?
Well, there are that many definitions on happiness. I told you already, the definition that I like is feeling good while doing good. Not only feeling good, not only doing good, but feeling good while doing good things. But maybe other people have other definitions of that. What we know is it is not about pleasure. It's about satisfaction in life. And satisfaction in life is there are five elements that that are important for our satisfaction. That is the quality of our relationships. That's the most important thing. It's a family, friends and colleagues. That's the first thing. The second thing is work, whether we have work. The third thing is our health. The fourth thing is money, but not more money will not make us more happy. And the fifth thing is our freedom, our personal freedom to make the choices we want to make in choosing our partner, family, job, studies and so on.
Feeling good while doing good. In a postmodern world where everyone has his own good, sort of we lost the big narratives and I say this is good and you say that's good. And,
Quite a lot of people agree upon what is good and what is not good. They know. I'm invited to go to Bhutan, for instance, which is a Himalayan state which is based on the gross national happiness, not on the gross national product, but the gross national happiness. And they have 33 indicators to measure the happiness of people. And they try to govern that way that people can become happy in society. Mm-hmm. So they're not only focusing on more and more economic growth, but also on the happiness of people. So they're measuring, for instance, the hours that people sleep, and they measure in education not only how intelligent students are, but what are their values. And they compare mental health to physical health. It always has to be in balance. They take care of the balance between working time and leisure time. All these kind of measures are important, and it's a new science. And what you measure is what you get. What you focus on is what you get. When you focus on the economic growth, only on that, you get economic discussions. But when you focus on how do I live, people have become richer and richer. I'm richer than my grandparents, and you're probably richer than your grandparents. But we haven't become happier. So the statistics of happiness are a flat line. And so we can change that. There are quite some differences in countries. The Nordic countries, the Scandinavian countries are happier than the southern countries. Malta is 7.1 on 10, for instance, but Denmark is 8.3. Now, Zimbabwe is 2.8. So, Maltese people are rather happy people. It's good to live here with all the conditions to be happy. And the only thing is we can do some better in having a more optimist attitude and belief in the future.
But there is a philosophical attitude behind it also, a concept of the human person.
It is.
Which would be perhaps different from somebody else's concept of the human person.
So everybody has the right to have his own view on what human beings should be and the values. I don't care about that. If you have values and if you are thinking and reflecting about values, talking to your friends about it, that's more important. But the thing is that you don't have to compare yourself to other people. Quite a lot of Maltese people tell me that they are always comparing to the neighbors, to the colleagues, and so on. Because you're living on an island and everybody knows everybody, it makes people easily to compare to other families and so on. You should stop with that comparing. It's more important to have the personal ambition to grow and to be hopeful and to set goals and to experience new things, to open your mind to other people instead of comparing, fearful comparing to the neighbors. What would they think? Mm-hmm. What is my colleague? What is his wage? Do I earn more or less? That kind of thing. Just live your own life, set your own goals and go for that.
Okay, so let's take one. You mentioned these five items. Let's take them one by one.
Okay.
The family. Okay. Yeah. Undoubtedly, the family can be a very important source of happiness.
It's not only
the family
about,
can also be a very...
It's a burden. Sometimes it's a burden of social control.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not only about family. It's about relationships. That's quite something else. Mm-hmm. It's a quality of your relationship. Well, you can
within
have
within your family?
No, not only with your family. With your friends, with your neighbors, with your colleagues. You can... We live in an enormous time of opportunities. You can have more friends than ever, not only on Facebook, but also in reality. I think I have more friends than my father had.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the possibilities to have good friends, not only on Facebook, but in real life. And the quality of these relationships is the first thing about happiness. I asked one of these professors, can you summarize all of your books and your studies in 1,000 words? And he said to me, I can't, 1,000 words, that's very few. And then he said, well, finally I succeeded in summarizing it in two words. There are two important words. I can summarize all my studies in two words. And here come these two words. If I tell you them, you'll say, okay, I know, but now you don't know yet, so I'll tell them, okay, here they are. Other people. It's not about me, it's about the other. It's not about things, it's about people, other people.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. So the quality of your relationship is sharing happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness is in sharing happiness. And it, to be alone doesn't make anyone happy.
Yeah, but Sartre said,
be alone.
Hell is other people. Sartre said, hell is other people.
Hell is the absence of other people. That is hell. That is real hell. When you don't want to go to a heaven where no one else is. You don't want to go there. You expect people to be there. You don't want to be alone in heaven. I don't want, and no one does. So we want, paradise is other people. And we make each other happen. We don't make each other happy. We make each other happen. We happen thanks to this interview. I change, and you change, and the listeners change. We make each other happen, and that's an enormous power we can do. Animals don't do that, but human beings do that.
So, okay, but sometimes it happens, I think, that when we are discussing relationships, we look, and even the way we speak, in Maltese we say, Irraġel tiegħi, my husband. So there is a kind of possession that we use, the language that you use for possessing things, and we use it for relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of there is that idea of possessing people.
Yes, claiming
people. He's my friend.
Yes, it's claiming people.
Wouldn't that undermine happiness? Because
yes,
I am not...
of course it undermines. Mm. It undermines happiness, of course. It's not about my love. It is about love. It's not about my happiness. It's about happiness. Mm. My new project is the World Book of Love. So I'm working now with 100 experts in 50 countries on love. And one of the things we find out that is that it's not about I love you, but I love. That's quite something else. It's not about possessing someone. Mm-hmm. It's not about claiming someone. It's about loving. Hollywood has made a picture like it is always about I love you. Well, we should learn to love, not only to love someone, but to love. That's a basic attitude.
Yeah, I think that's a very important attitude. Let's move to work, because work is another stratum that you said would give us happiness. And quite naturally, in the kind of environment that we are living in today in the world, with all these economic progress and our problems, not progress,
of course.
And with the rising number of people unemployed and...
It doesn't make you happy when you have no work. We see that very clearly in the statistics. When a region has high unemployment, there is high unhappiness. There is a close relationship between having work, even having bad work, is better than having no work. So people want to work, because work gives structure to our life. It's not only about income. It's about contact with people, about meaning in life. It gives meaning. It gives structure. So creating work is a great job we have to do for each other. and to try to be happy at work. And I've been talking in Malta to quite a lot of businessmen and to bankers and organizations. I was quite glad to hear how they sometimes feel at their work. And not everybody is happy in his work, and it's a pity, because we spend that much time a day in our work that we should be happy workers as well, and that organizations and business would take care of happy workers in happy organizations, because then they will have happy clients and happy customers. But it starts with happy people in your own firm, and we should consider that. We should take time for that, because quite a lot of people are burnt out or don't want to go to the job, don't feel appreciated in their job. So feeling appreciated in your job is quite important. Yes.
Third, health.
Yes, health is important for our happiness, but in the other direction than we thought in the past. We thought that healthy people were happier. People say, I wish you good health, and then they think you will become happier. Well, it's not true. There are quite a lot of healthy people who are not happy, and there are quite a lot of ill, sick people who are really happy. So the relationship is the opposite way. When you are an optimist, you live longer. You're in better health. The medicines work better. You're cured easier. So there is no reason not to become an optimist, because you will live longer. So the better thing is not caring. It's not only about caring about your health. It's about caring on your optimism. To be an optimist in society makes you live longer. It's statistically proved. There is an as close relationship between smoking and cancer than between optimism and happiness. It's the same relationship. When you smoke, you get cancer. When you're an optimist, you become happier. And happier people are healthier. They're more successful in studies, science, friendship. Why don't you become an optimist? There's no reason not to become one.
You are critical of people who call themselves as realists in your book.
Well, realists are pessimists who don't want to admit it yet.
I'll keep on taking these five points so that you can explain, and then I'll try to challenge some of the money. Money makes the world go round.
Well,
more money, more happiness.
We need money. Let's be sure about that. We need money. When you don't have money, you will not become happy. And money needs to cover our five basic needs: food, clothes, a roof on a head, healthcare for the kids, and schools for the kids. That when you have these five elements, you can. That's the basic form to be happy. But more money doesn't make us more happy. That's the problem. When you have these basic things, people are focusing on having more and more, and having more than the neighbors, and having more than the colleagues. But that makes that organizes competition and comparison, and that's what makes people unhappy. So you need some money, but more and more money will not make us more and more happy. We won't forget that quite a lot of people are poor in Malta. 9% of the kids are living in poverty. 9%. In Iceland and Finland, for instance, happier countries, only 4.5% of kids are living in poverty. And in Spain and Italy, it's 17 and 16%. In the United States, 23% of kids are living in poverty. Is that an ideal state to live in? If a quarter of your population is living in poverty, if kids are living in poverty, so money is important to cover these basic needs. And you're doing well in Malta, but there are countries that are doing better. So closing the gap between the very rich and the very poor makes people happy. So countries in which that gap between very rich and very poor is very narrow, these countries are happier. The rich and the poor become happier.
Freedom.
It's very important to make your own choices, of course. We don't have to tell that in Syria and Lebanon and Egypt, but we have to tell that to our own people as well. Freedom and democracy, for instance. Living in a democracy is a very important value, and we forget this. We think democracy has always existed and will always exist. No, it's not. It's not. It's a very high value to become an active citizen, to take part in political discussions, to take part in social life, and to make your own choices. The choices on the studies you do, the choices of the partner you will have, all the things you want to buy and you don't want to buy. So it's about having control on your own life, and that's a very important element of the satisfaction of your life. Yes.
Before this program, I was discussing the topic with some of the people working here. And someone told me, all of this is, I'll not use the same word he used, he said, sex makes you happy. And you have been speaking for such a long time. And you said, family, work, health, money, and no sex.
Well,
wouldn't that be a very...
Well, I don't want to start with it, but I want to talk an hour about that as well. And when you consider sex as sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it will give you pleasure, but it will not cause happiness. It is the short-term thing. But sex and a close intimate relationship with someone is very important for our happiness. Touching each other, kissing each other is important. It gives serotonin, oxytocin in our body, and we really enjoy that kind of thing. It's a happiness. It's improving happiness. Indeed, it does.
But again, it's chemicals. You mentioned chemicals. I was reading recently about what, so that I'll come to the first point I made about pills. They are discussing in universities, researching on what they call attitude enhancers. You will take a pill for obedience, and you will take a pill not to be angry. What you are saying is much more humanistic.
Yes, well, you shouldn't trust all these pills we know for physical health as well. Physical health is more in our own hands, but medicine has become that kind of thing that we believe that pills will solve everything. I'm working together with quite a lot of industries on that topic, because medical industry is not only interested anymore in giving a longer life, but also a happier life. It's if we are living longer and we are not happier, why should we live longer then? Then life is a kind of punishment, so we can change that, and we don't need pills for that. Not at all. We don't need pills.
Okay. You are referring to work, you're referring to money, you're referring to freedom. You are saying that we need enough money to live, but it does not mean that the more money we have, the more happy we have, and also you are saying the same thing for the rest. When you consider that our media, by and large, I mean, even probably more television than anything else, pushes a worldview built on having more, about more consumerism. Do you think that the media are the enemies of happiness?
Well, they don't make us happy. Watching television, reading the newspapers make us afraid. People who watch television are unhappier than people who don't watch television. So switch off the machine and do something else. Read a book, listen to music, enjoy your friends, take time to watch the birds, to walk, to move. They're very much important than this passive watching television that we spend hours on it, and we forget our own kids, we forget our family just by watching television. So media play an important role, but they confront us with a lot of values that are not our own values. We have this publicity all the time to make you want things that we really don't want. Watching the programs that are full of competition with other people, that you have to vote them away, to gossip about other people. These are not our values that will that will make us happy. So please, it's not only the journalists who can do better. We don't have to pay for these papers or these programs. If we don't watch them, they will not be made. So it's also in our hands. 50% of optimism and happiness is genetics. That we cannot change that. It's from our
50% genetics.
We get this from our family.
Can be born in such a way that you cannot be happy.
Yes, you are born as a pessimist or an optimist for 50%. We know that from comparing studies in twins.
And you cannot change that, you are saying.
No, it's rather difficult to change that. Education can change that. But 50% is genetic. 10% is based on circumstances. That's the job we have, the money we earn, the house we live in. We're always busy with these 10%. 40% is left for what is between our ears. That's the way we look at things. We can change this 40%. We can really change that. We don't want to be happy for 100% every day and every moment. Life is not a party. We know it's ups and downs, but we have this 40% we have in our own hands. So we can all become 10 or 20% more or less happy, and we can improve happiness in our partner, in our kids, in our friends, and we can spread the positive virus. We can.
I told you at the beginning of the interview that I was skeptical.
That's a good attitude.
Yes, but the way you are speaking about the subject, I think, is... I don't know whether this would be a compliment or an insult. You speak like a realist.
Yes, I am.
So you are a pessimist.
No. I'm not driving the country in a car full of balloons. It's not about sunflowers, and I know what the problems are in reality. We have the feet on the ground. I don't know whether you have heard about that bus accident in Belgium with 23 kids dying when they came from a school trip from Switzerland.
Mm.
It's in my village in Belgium where I'm living, just 10 kilometers from my house, and I was at the National Minute of Silence in the school. I was holding hands with teachers, children, and parents. And at that very, very moment of disaster, of darkness, we were talking about happiness. And I talked to your mother, and she told me, well, I have two options. Whether I close myself down now in the house and I don't come out anymore, or I come out and I smile and I talk to people. When I come out and I smile, I see my little kid smiling. When I stay in the house and I close the windows and the doors, I see the bus. That's the difference. Do I want to see the bus for the rest of my life, or do I want to see the kid smiling? So I have to come out to talk to people, to smile to people, and then I'll see the kid smiling. Okay. So she cannot change reality. The kid is dead. But she can change her attitude, the way she will deal with it, and she has decided to smile and to be an optimist and to be hopeful. And that's the only way to become a bit happier yourself and to give happiness to your family, to your friends, to social community.
Let's stop for a very short break. But then the question that I'll pose now, but I would like you to answer after the break, is, but isn't this the attitude of someone who wants to alienate himself or herself from life? But answer me after the break.
Jekk li għandek potenzjal iżżid il-paga tiegħek ftit snin, issa tista' tixri d-dar tal-futur tiegħek illum. Kellimna għal aktar dettalji. Termini u kundizzjonijiet japplikaw. Bank of Valletta, impenn lejn is-suċċess
tiegħek. I welcome you back to the program. I remind you that I, Father Joe Borch, am interviewing Mr. Leo Bormans, described as the ambassador of happiness, and his visit to Malta was organized by Leading Talks in collaboration with the University's Research, Innovation and Development Trust, and also the Malta Philosophy Society. I was saying, Mr. Bormans, you refer to this woman who lost her kid. It's a disaster. I think
it is.
The worst disaster that can happen to a parent. And she's saying, if I stay at home, I close in on myself, I sit the bus, and that hurts me. If I go out, I smile at people smile at me, and I see my kids smiling. Okay, but isn't that a way of alienation? Isn't that a way of one kidding oneself, one not facing reality as it is?
No, it is not. We cannot change reality. We only can change the way we look at reality. And I don't like the song "Don't Worry, Be Happy." I hate the song. I made buttons saying "Do worry, be happy." Please do worry. Some things are going wrong in society, in relationships, and so on. People commit suicide. People get divorced. People get ill. Get cancer. Do worry. But be happy, that's no contradiction. There are red buttons and green buttons in society. The red buttons are the pessimists, the green buttons are the optimists. Well, if I talk to people, if I talk 5 minutes to people, one of the professors has learned me to see whether he is an optimist or a pessimist after 5 minutes, and I can teach you. If you talk to someone who is a red button, he's talking about himself, about the past, and about problems. If you're talking to a green button, he's talking about us, we, the future, and solutions. So it's not about myself, it's about we. It's not about problems, it's about solutions. Mm-hmm. It's not about the past, it's about the future. And when you know these green buttons and you try to connect them and to combine them, that's the great power of positive thinking, because there are more optimists than pessimists.
Mm-hmm.
But the pessimists make more noise. Maybe we can change that attitude and the optimists can make a bit more noise. When you are critical, when you're skeptical, when you're negative, you're making the most noise. You're well taken care of. People listen to you. They try to listen to you. They give you the voice in newspapers, all over, in meetings, on the street. When you are the negative one, you get the attention. Why don't we change that? Why don't we give the positive ones the attention they deserve? Because when we want to come out of the crisis, do you know the pessimists will not solve the problems? No pessimist will solve the problems. Never in history a pessimist or a critical has solved a problem. Do you know any statue in any city for a pessimist? I don't know. They don't build statues for pessimists and for criticals. They're the dreamers. The dreamers get get the statues. And it's true that we have to believe in a dream, to set a dream and not stop dreaming. Is that naive? No, it's not naive. It's a science, and we know it is a science, and we know what is important in life, but we don't do what we know.
Okay. Van Rompuy sent this book, The World Book of Happiness, to all world readers. Was there any reaction? Did he get any feedback? Do you know anything about it?
Yes, well, that's one of the reasons why I'm in Malta, I think. people got the news everywhere, so I'm traveling the world now. In fact, it started with a failure of mine. I set myself some goals in the 1st of January as well, like everybody does, and I had written a book on happiness, and I just thought, well, I want to send this book to Barack Obama. I want Barack Obama to read it. And I Googled how to write a letter to Barack Obama, and then you get a film of the White House, and you see that he gets 60,000 letters a week, and there are 30 people selecting his letters. And they said, and only three letters arrive in Barack Obama's hands.
Out of 60,000?
Yes, every week. And then they said, but everybody gets an answer. So I thought, I write a letter because that answer is okay for me. And I wrote a letter to Barack Obama, and he didn't answer. I never got an answer. I was waiting for weeks at the mailbox, and there was no answer. So I decided, who's next? What's plan B? Africa doesn't have a president, but we have a kind of leader in Europe. It's Herman Van Rompuy, and he's speaking Dutch like I do, and he's living in Belgium.
He's Belgian, like
yes, he knew the book. He had read the book, and I contacted him, and I just asked him, can you make sure that Barack Obama gets that book? Or I said, can't we do better? Can we send the book to all world leaders? Then Barack Obama will get it as well, but all the old world leaders. I said, what a great idea. And he wrote a letter on positive attitude and hope instead of fear and how we can solve the problems when we are based on values. And in quite a lot of interviews on television, he has referred to the World Book of Happiness now, saying that the European idea and the European idea of humanity is reflected in the World Book of Happiness as well, because it's about social behavior, about social cohesion, about not about the individual, but about what we can do for each other, he needs it and he uses it, and I'm quite glad that he has become an ambassador of the book as well, and of the ideas. That's quite okay, but you don't have to follow anyone, and you don't have to follow Van Rompuy, but we can give you a mirror to reflect on your own priorities, and the World Book of Happiness can do that.
Do you organize yourself or someone else organize courses in being happy?
Yes, we do. Yes,
What would be in very short then a course? Like, is it a 10-hour course to happiness?
Well, I'm very bad in meditation, for instance. I don't do that kind of courses. But when we talk about being happy, I was just some weeks ago. I was invited by a group of young criminals. They were 16, 17 years old and living half in between jail and in a house, and they had read my book, and they asked me to come to talk to them. It was a very very good evening, because they're on street criminality, and they are doubting about what their life will look like and so on. But when we were talking, what is happiness for you and what is real happiness? And I talked to journalists and I talked to businessmen, I talked to poor people and to rich people, and we just start by talking, what does that mean for you, happiness? Have you become a journalist to make the world better or to make the world worse? Have you become a politician to make the world better or to make it worse? Why are you in criminality? Is this, you want a good life, don't you? So we're talking about what means happiness for me as a person, as a personal being, talking about that in terms that we're not used to. People are not used to talk on happiness. They don't want it. They're skeptical, like you are in the interview, and it's a good right to be skeptical. But quite a lot of people have forgotten the words to talk about happiness. When I talked to the parents of the bus accident, they said, well, most of the letters we get start with, I don't find words for this. well, it's time that we find words again to talk about our happiness, about our sorrow, about our pain, about our love. Let's look for the words instead of saying, I cannot find the words for that.
Very interesting, Mr. Bormans. At least, as I told you, I started putting forward the question of the skeptic and of the perhaps cynic sometimes, but...
I hope you have changed a bit during
yeah,
this
changed
program.
A lot, because...
well, that's what we're doing. My visit in Malta is I've given lectures and speeches all over, and quite a lot of people mail me afterwards or come to me and say, well, you've changed my way of thinking, and it's not that difficult. It's very easy, in fact. It's a very easy message.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bormans. Namel, li ringrazzjakom tal-attenzjoni, namel appuntament malkom għal-bħallum ġimgħa, nispera li program ta' ġimgħa oħra jkun interessanti daqs dan il-program. Jien Fateh Ġo Bolġi semmilkom saħħa.
Għadkom kemm smajtu. Mhux kelma bejtnej, l-intervista tal-Bank of Valletta. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' Fateh Ġo Bolġi u l-Professur Ġo Pirotta. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqat tajba tal-Bank of Valletta.